After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android. We recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel on Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. You tired of the same five people tweeting all the heat stuff all day long? Well, you can communicate with more than 500 all day long and all night long in the various chat rooms on our Discord. So check it out. Link is right here in the description and pinned to the top of the Five Reasons Twitter page. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network that includes Prize Picks. Use the code 5 FIVE. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. We keep telling you it's legal again in the state of Florida. Yes, there was about a 6-week hiatus. They came back with a new game called the Arena Game. You can play up to four players together. Pretty soon that's going to be more than that. But across the different sports, you get them all, you win big. Use the code 5FIVE. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100 and check out our Prop 5 shows on the Five Reasons YouTube channel. And now, today's episode. Down to
Biscayne. Yay. Five on the floor. Ride for my dogs. Wait, here's the thing. You can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars. Wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing. Got an all band. Y'all seen the block. Stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust. It's about to have the guts. We're here to bring the heat. Y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. We got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at Brady Hawk 305. We take a break from the 38 consecutive Donovan Mitchell episodes to bring you something about someone who is actually on the current team. Bam Adebayo, named to first team all defense. The first time that this has happened in his career, it feels a little bit more like a result of sort of a groundswell for him. That was, groundswell is too strong because that means it was moving kind of quickly. It's kind of been a slow moving campaign for him over the past couple of years, getting people to recognize that it's not all about blocks and steals. I don't necessarily think that this was Bam's best defensive season. I think he's had better ones, but they did have a top five defense with guys in and out the entire year. He did finish, I guess, second in the team in games played this year at 71, so he had a lot to do with it. He and Jaime Hawk is the only Heat players to play at least 70. He was the consistent guy there on the defense all year long, and of course he's been forced to play different styles to adjust to different personnel that this team has had. So I got a chance to talk to Bam yesterday on a Zoom call, obviously excited about this. Believes he's the defensive player of the year every year. That's what he says. But I think he values this particular commendation, essentially, because it's been a long time coming. Brady, I'll get to this. Before we get into the specifics of what Bam can do better going forward and how he may need to adjust to rosters that come in, I was just curious for your thoughts about the fact that the all defense first team was all front court players this time, all bigs. And actually, I think it was Alex Caruso who remarked or joked, they put all the guards on the second team, of which he was one of them. What's your view on that overall?
I mean, the bigs are the anchors. The bigs are the connectors of what makes a defense a good defense. Like, you can have an individual player like Caruso or Derek White or Drew Holiday or different, you know, good guard defenders. but it's more matchup based. It's more kind of locking down the guy in front of you and not covering everything else up, like kind of the lengthier, bigger defenders that are the actual anchors of their team. So I think that's just this is what was going to happen when they changed it up and pretty much said they're not going position based in the defensive stuff and all of those recognition stuff, because it's what it is. You just got to put your best guys in that direction. But the funny thing is, Ethan, is thank God they did that, because with the infatuation with Wemby and everything going forward, and he's probably going to win a couple defensive player of the years himself in the coming years, it would have been tough for Bam, who's locked into that center position, to try to get first team all defense constantly behind him. So like the fact that now they're going positionless, and it really does help him that he's probably going to get a couple more of those. But yeah, I just think it is the position thing. It's why we had such a problem with Marcus Smart winning it that year over him, which was probably one of his better chances in terms of just having a really complete defensive year. It's just the guards are just, they're locked into a certain type of style. And I think honestly, Bam being a semi, like almost like a guard defender, because he can guard the perimeter, and he's not like a, like you mentioned, he's not a shot blocking guy. He's just I'm going to lock you down guy. I'm going to force a miss guy. I'm just going to, you know, force you into a tough shot, and that doesn't get accounted for. It's almost like he gets put into that guard bracket at times, which is that's the tough part. Like, he's not looked at as an elite rim protector, even though he is, without even, you know, blocking shots.
Yeah, I mean, that's why the Heat's numbers are always, it's about not getting into the paint, essentially, is the way that they try to operate. And they've done it without a good point of attack defender at the guard position for a while, to the point that they've had to use their fours, whether it was Caleb Martin or Haywood Highsmith, or their small fours, their small ball fours, to do that kind of stuff. You know, the thing about Bam, when he said what he wants to be known as a defender, is as someone who has no weaknesses. I feel like that's, you know, that is kind of the core thing for him, that he's not someone, okay, you can scheme him off the floor in any way. Now, people who follow Minnesota in this playoff run now will say that Rudy has overcome some of the allegations there. I'm not going to give Gobert too hard a time for Jokic, because so many have problems with Jokic, although I do believe Bam plays Jokic as well or better than anybody else does. But I think Minnesota, what we're seeing now with their defense, even the game that Gobert missed, it's really good without him. I mean, Anthony Edwards is a plus defender. Jaden McDaniels is an elite defender. Alexander Walker has become a good defender, and Towns is actually playing defense now. So like their core defense would be good without Gobert. It's just better with him. Whereas Bam, this Heat defense, I don't know what this would be. I mean, you've got Tyler, you've got Duncan, you've got K-Love. Let's just be honest. We're not considering the plus defenders. I know K-Love does a good job positionally, but then, you know, additionally, look, Caleb didn't have an elite defensive year. Haywood is really, and Jimmy, yes, can be an elite defender when he's engaged and playing, but really, Haywood Highsmith was the only other guy on the team that you would say, and Hawkins is better than advertised, but Highsmith is the only one to be like, okay, that guy would be part of a top five defense. Like, there's nobody else on this roster other than, I guess, again, an engaged Jimmy, who would qualify in that way, right?
I guess you could throw DeLon in there, but I guess, yeah. Does he really
short,
count?
Because
he,
short
it was,
minutes.
Yeah, it was,
yeah.
It was short term, and yeah, you did not get a lot of minutes. But yeah, Haywood was kind of the definite one there. But you brought up Gobert. It's funny because you can't knock him because of what he's doing in that system, but the key word is system. And that's the key word when I look forward to these defense player of the years, is because he plays a style that works for them, and he plays in the drop because that's him, and he's elite at it. He's absolutely elite at blocking shots, altering shots, kind of playing in that drop. But like, the versatility of Bam is what's standing out. When you talk about no weaknesses, that's what he means. He's like, I can play drop, I can switch, I can blitz, I can play in a zone, I can do all of that, and nothing takes away from me being elite. I can be an elite in any system because essentially I am the defensive system. And I think of it like the way we judge offensive players, where a guy has a certain offensive scoring package and you say, oh, well, he doesn't have the three ball unlocked. Oh, he doesn't have a mid-range game or something. Like, we don't talk about that with like defenders, where this guy can't switch, this guy can't play blitz a ton effectively and do that all game. Well, like, Bam could do a lot of that stuff. So I think that's where he looks at it in terms of like the weakness part and individually. And I actually asked him about it in the X interview. I asked him kind of where he felt he's grown the most defensively, because there's no, you can't really judge defensive improvements. Like, it's just like, once you're like, even guys that are named are called good defenders at some point, don't really lose that, like lose that thing. Even if they tail off defensively, you still hear people calling them good defenders because they once were good defenders. It's just what you heard. And there is a way to grow defensively. And I asked him kind of what he's felt like he's grown the most with. And it kind of kicks into the stuff you talked about with being a captain. It's communication. He's like, I have the ability to play in a bunch of different coverages, a bunch of different schemes. I just need to have the communication down. And I felt like I've grown in that this season, where he felt like he wants to be able to yell at somebody. He wants to like go and say, you have to be in this spot. No, you have to go under the screen. You have to do this or that. So it's like, I just think now it's just about using his voice, which is kind of like the stuff you talked about with being captain.
And we were talking before the show about how their best defensive season was actually a season that Bam missed some time, but they had PJ Tucker doing the communication stuff. And I think that's what they missed the most. And I've said this before, there are only two things that Jimmy Butler's asked the front office for, according to the people around him. And one of them was go get Kyle Lowry. We know how that worked out or didn't at times. The other he asked for was them to re-sign PJ Tucker. I think a big reason for that was that PJ had the credibility and the gravitas just generally to tell people where to go. And I feel like a lot of that is falling on. And now without UD too, when UD wasn't on the floor at that time, but at least he was on the sideline, they don't really have that voice. And I think that is where we talk about Bam's growth. People are going to talk about, okay, the three ball, right? Okay, we saw a little bit of that. All right, the post game. Well, I don't know where that's going to go at this point. Okay, you know, getting to the line even more often. Okay, or holding up offensively as the year goes on. And then we talk about defense. I'm not really sure where the improvements can come other than communication. But the big improvement is going to be overall communication as a captain. And I think that, you know, it was funny when he said, I asked him about what he learned as captain this year, and he said, it sucks. There's always truth to every joke. And so I explored that a little bit afterwards, and I've been told he did not enjoy it at all. That it was more of, and it's funny because when I talked to him about it, when I thought he would be named captain, and I said, do you want in training camp at FAU when we were close to that happening? He says, well, I don't know who else it would be. At that point, I'm like, well, yeah, me either. And then I said to him in a group interview, which I don't think he loved the question, where it's like, you know, are you too nice to be captain? Essentially, everybody likes you. I don't think he enjoyed that. And I feel like in a way it was a little bit forced by the organization because they want him to grow into it. And we'll see where that goes. But I think that plays into what we're talking about here, what you're talking about with communication. It is feeling you have the right to say, listen, I'm that guy. Okay. I'm a first team all defense guy. Please do what I say. Like now. And I don't know that that's necessarily Bam's personality. And that's something, you know, I think he'll have to grow into. So all of these honors, I think, in that regard, help. I think, again, when you can call someone all defense, when that can be your nickname, hey, all defense. OK, that's, you know, and players call them by their names. I remember James Jones, you know what, he won that one 3-point contest. And literally for the entire tenure of the big three, LeBron and Dwayne called him champ because of that one. Okay. And they were all champions at a certain point. Right. But they all called him champ, and now, you know, Bam is all defense. Okay. And so that's, you know, that, you know, he's not DPOY, which I know is what he wants, but he's all defense. And so I think that may lend a little bit more credibility to his voice, which I think is a positive. All right. On the other side is we will get into, some overall stuff with Bam and also scheme related, like kind of what this may look like next year. Big Brother Ironwork. That's what I want to tell you about right now. Go to bigbrotherironwork.com. This is where you can get a free estimate all across the state of Florida, including Dade, Broward, the Keys, and more for your metalwork. They specialize in that, aluminum fences, gates, pergolas, railings, and all of that. They guarantee steadfast fabrication and installation with competitive pricing. They got more than 20 years of experience. They are experienced experts in the field. Avid Miami Heat fans, we always add that as well, and licensed and insured. So find them at Big Brother. That's bigbrotherironwork.com, bigbrotherironwork.com, or reach out to Abraham at 786-406-5780. That's 786-406-5780. BigBrotherIronwork.com.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. As you know, we heard from Pat Riley recently. Everybody has an opinion on trades, free agency, who they should keep, who they should give up, who they should get. Well, whatever it is that Riley and the Heat do, you don't want them giving up too much and getting too little, right? Well, the same is true of shaving products, and that's why I use Harry's Shaving Products. I love the way it handled, I love the way it looks, and I love the quality of the shave. I have a little bit of trouble growing out a good beard, so better to just shave it off and make sure that it looks somewhat professional. These are German-engineered blades made in their own factory, so they stay sharp longer, means you can use them longer. And also, they've got customizable delivery options for scheduled refills as low as $2, half of what you pay for other big brands. Also, I would recommend the shaving lotion as well and the body wash. So check it out. You can go to harrys.com/five. That's harrys.com/five. You'll get a $13 trial set for just $3. Again, don't pay too much and get too little. Same is true of shaving as NBA transactions. harrys.com/five for your $3 trial set.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A lot of smart people don't feel smart about their money. We have so many questions. Is a prenup a good way to start a marriage? Can I afford my dream home? And how do I leave a legacy for my children? Morgan Stanley has a podcast to help. On What Should I Do With My Money? You can listen in on real people asking the same questions you have and getting helpful answers from experienced financial advisors. Find and follow What Should I Do With My Money to get the answers you need to feel smart about your money.
All right, so we don't know who's going to be on the roster yet. That's the thing. And we know that they had to play a lot of zone this past year. We know that there's been switching over the period of time, you know, from drop to blitzing to all kinds of different schemes that Spo has tried just to keep the team in the game defensively, since offense has been such a struggle. What do you think is the preferred style of defense around a Bam Adebayo type player?
Preferred, if everything was the way you want it to be, would be switching. I mean, he's just that good of a switch defender, and he talks about it a lot that he hates when they go switch and they just pull him to the strong side corner, and just to kind of eliminate him as his, that's like the only way you could eliminate Bam as a defender, because even if you switch, you pull him weak side, he could weak side help and recover. If you're strong side, you got to stay there. And he's kind of pigeonholed in a way where he has to stay there. So I think that's the one thing that he's trying to figure out, and just knows the teams do that. But realistically, the Heat are going to have to use him and drop. That's kind of even when I look at the way this roster is currently looking, the way they did it this past season, they have to play more drop, because you can't really, if you're running Terry Tyler lineups, you can't go switch a ton. Because then you're gonna, you could kind of miss, the other teams can mismatch on. Now you're doubling, you're constantly trying to recover. You kind of are forced to play this style to kind of fight around screens. And even if, like, some of the options that we're doing podcasts on, Donovan Mitchell, Trae Young, like all these different guys that we're talking about that could potentially like be in the system, would probably, I mean, would still play drop. I don't think there's unless you're like building a style where it's like, let's just say you trade for Donovan Mitchell and DeLon Wright is your starting point guard, then you'd switch a ton. Like, that would be like the one outlet to do that. But other than that, the realistic options of what this roster is going to look like, they're going to use a bunch of drop. They're going to play him in zone. That's what I think is the funny thing about versatility, is the fact that he's effective in zone. Like, one of the hardest things you could do is play in that bottom zone where you're limited. You're just kind of helping around. And that's what the communication comes from, is because his job in the zone is to communicate, to tell this guy to help down, tell this guy to scoot up, tell this guy to do that, where he's kind of just had to learn to just find a guy to box out and rebound well, which he's done at a high level. But I'll say the other thing I thought was interesting that he said yesterday in the press conference was where he often brings up the voters, where he talks about that type of stuff. But he mentioned He's like, I already have the respect of my peers. My peers know that I'm one, the probably the best defender in the league. It's just getting the voters now to realize that. But I just think that's a funny aspect because you just don't see many guys that are that, like teams that are scheming to pull a guy to the strong side corner before they get to their action. Like that's like their priority before they go get into their offense. That it's like teams and players have the his respect totally. They're not thinking about his shot blocking or his numbers here or there. Like they know how good of a defender he is. That's why he's the system. That's why they don't really have to that smoke and do the things he does and keep altering styles because that's just you know how good he is. But I know what you're going to get into next, and I'm interested to hear your opinion on it because I know you brought up the fact, and I know you asked about it, is like, how much is the offense going to be impacted by how much they use them defensively? And that's why, like, blitzing is a perfect example because they could be really effective with that. Like, against really high-level scoring guards, they could blitz a ton and throw them off their game. But do you want that guy sprinting, guarding, trapping at half court, recovering, yelling out defensively if you're relying on him the way you are offensively? So that's why I think they at certain points, you've seen them go zone, you've seen them go drop and not do certain things because I think they are preserving him in certain ways, especially because he's not a guy that takes games off. He's a guy that plays. So if he's shooting for 82 games played, you have to maximize him as much as possible.
And that's why I think this availability press conference that Pat Riley did excluded him in all ways. And I think that's we have to reframe the way that we view a lot of this stuff, I think, when it comes to BAM. And this is where some who are sort of, you know, are not BAM believers. And there are some I respect who are think that we overrate him on the podcast. OK, who are in the space. I'm not talking about fans necessarily. I'm talking about those who are sort of peripherally related to the team in some way. But I think that we have to view it as it's always been this thing, like get Jimmy some help, get Jimmy some help, get Jimmy some help, get Jimmy some, well, get Bam some help. Like this is, you know, because I mean, you're asking him to carry a bigger burden than Jimmy to just keep this team's floor. Like Jimmy is the ceiling raiser. I don't argue with that. Okay. And I saw that. I wish I could attribute that tweet because I thought it was a good tweet that I saw out there about a month ago that Bam sets the floor and Jimmy raises the ceiling, but they fall through the floor without Bam. Like this has been a consistent problem. Like Kevin Love patched a lot of this. And then again, they play zone with Kevin when Kevin was effective this year. But again, we saw in the playoffs, it was the same thing. They could not go to anybody else but Bam. And so I do think that there has to be focus on getting Bam to the finish line fresher. And, you know, we talk about his minutes. Like, I want them to up his minutes in the playoffs, but they may need to figure out a way somehow to get the minutes down a little bit during the regular season. Like you mentioned, play certain styles that will preserve him a little bit. Because we can't have it all ways. Like, you cannot – I mean, there is not another guy in the league. Like, if you look at the top 15 players in the league right now, okay, there's not another guy in the league who's asked to be to do this defensively. Like, and then you're like, okay, now get me 22 and all the rest. It's a lot. It's a lot. And look, he's a young man. He's obviously in great condition. But he's not going to be a young man forever. And at a certain point, you are – you know, you are shortening his prime, I think, if you're asking him to do this much all the time. And he's the one that's the one playing, you know, in the upwards of 70 plus games. And as I was told last year, there are basically, you know, two guys on this team. I would add a third based on what happened at the end of the year. But there were two guys on this team that were always trying to play through anything, which were Bam and Caleb. And the third one I would throw in is Duncan, because it's clear how much he pushed himself at the end of the year. Some of these other guys need to do some of that to push through this through, okay, so that it's not just Bam. And also, they just need to get size next to him. I that's where I'm at. Like, and I it's got to be functional size. It's got to be skilled size. But even if their rebounding numbers look okay with 6'5 guys next to him, and a lot of times they do, it's just not – it's not sustainable, Brady. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, they need a big body who imposes his will on the opponent – so that it's not Bam having to absorb all of that all the time. Is that fair at this point?
Oh, it's fair. I just think it has to be the right size. And it has to be – because you could get size, as we've seen in the past, but they don't end up playing. Like, Spo's not going to end up going in that direction because they do play a certain style. So I think it has to be the right size. Like, a PJ Washington fit in Dallas is like the perfect example. Not that you're going to get that type of player, but that's the type of fit where there's versatility to him, where he's playable at the end of games, where there's just that aspect where it's like, they're going to go best player available in the draft, and we'll get into draft stuff moving forward. But like, they're not just going to say, okay, we need a big, we're going to pick a big. They're going to go best player available. But like, even if I look around, like we've seen them do the big thing, and not that each player that they potentially draft would be precious, but will that guy play that they draft unless he's a 4-year guy? Like if he's like a Jaime Hawkins type guy, maybe they can find ways to slot him in. But the issue is that I don't know who that guy is or where that guy's going to be. Because if either the only option that you're thinking about is if they can find one in Sioux Falls or Summer League this offseason. Because other than that, I don't really see who that guy would be. If they have their focus on certain guys or improving this roster in a way, I just don't know if that versatile front court piece is there. Because we could talk about moving Bam to the four, these certain fives, and or like in the draft, there was like Zach Edey was talked about. Like, I don't see Spo playing Zach Edey. Like, I don't see there being that type of – like, they just like versatile bigs. That's what you need to do, I guess, feel like, in today's day, but also in Miami's scheme and style. So they need to do it. Like, Minnesota, what we're talking about, Minnesota is a perfect example. But Dallas, who's matched up with them in the Western Conference Finals, also has functional size. They have versatile size.
Well, they added functional size at the deadline.
Yes.
Right. I mean, that's the thing in Gafford and PJ Washington. And I, you know, when I look at this situation, we're all like, okay, Jovic is the perfect guy to play next to Bam. Right. We talk about that all the time. I think he's developing into that. He is the perfect idea to play next to Bam, where you get versatility, but he has height, obviously. Now the weight, the strength has been the work in progress here. And this is clearly they said, you know, Spo said it, others had said it to me prior, that they, you know, the first year was kind of a redshirt year, then he got hurt the back, you know, lost a little bit of time there. They didn't really expect a lot this past season. Okay, they really didn't. They were just trying to see if there was some place they could get him a few minutes. That's why they sent him down to work at playing at the five. But the ultimate goal ultimately was the four. But it's when he grow, not now, it's not just putting on the weight, okay, which he's done, but it's being comfortable doing the other things you used to do with the weight, but now it's using the weight to impose yourself on the opponent. That's probably going to be the next step. That's not going to happen right. This is a guy who was a guard, okay? So that's not going to happen right away just instinctually. This is going to take – he's not – you know, it's just not going to be his mentality. So, I wanted them to keep Jovic. I think Jovic is the long-term fit next to Bam. They need one more piece in that front court, though, that they can go to for 25 minutes. It's supposed to be comfortable going to for 25 minutes. I mean, they need a Naz Reid, okay? And that's easier said than done, but, you know, who's the third guy in that rotation, right? So you sort of have, you know, Towns and Gobert, and then you have Naz Reid. But again, this was an undrafted free agent. I'm not saying that you're going to find another one like that, but that's the kind of player, and now we can look back and say, okay, maybe you could have moved Tyler Herro to get him a year or two ago. Who knows, okay? Right now, I don't know that they have a piece they can move for a player that good. So it is about trying to find somebody somewhere who can at least plug that gap and give Bam a break. That's it. Like, this, give Bam a break so that you can get him. His shot attempts have decreased. Last year, they decreased every month over month. Why? He's tired. Like, that's the thing. Like, he's the one that's being asked to carry, you know, and again, it would help if his star partner would play 65 plus games. I just think that would make a difference, and that's the topic we're going to keep coming back to this entire offseason. All right, thanks to Brady. Thanks to our sponsors, BigBrotherIronwork.com. Make sure you check them out. And also our friends over at Prize Picks. Use the code 5, FIVE. They're more my friends today than 2 days ago because, wow, I hit big last night. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward.
Modelo, the mark of a fighter.
Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A lot of smart people don't feel smart about their money. We have so many questions. Is a prenup a good way to start a marriage? Can I afford my dream home? And how do I leave a legacy for my children? Morgan Stanley has a podcast to help. On What Should I Do With My Money? You can listen in on real people asking the same questions you have and getting helpful answers from experienced financial advisors. Find and follow What Should I Do With My Money to get the answers you need to feel smart about your money.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.